So tonight we're going to, oh, yes, it is better. Now I feel Pentecostal. Woo, come on, somebody. Hey! All right. Where was I? Okay, so tonight we're going to be combining our Rock Solid Faith class and our End Times class. End Times, I know you guys were just dying so much to get into, like, the second chapter of the book of Revelations, because that's how far we've gotten. But tonight we're going to be combining these classes, and tonight's topic is incredibly important, so I don't think it matters where you are in your next steps growth. The topic of healing is so important. If you look across the modern day church, there are two main topics that anti-church or anti-God people want to come against. One is healing, and the other is finances, which is so interesting because when you look at the secular world, what are the two biggest things that people complain about? Healthcare costs so much, right? Healing, right? And, oh, I'm always broke living paycheck to paycheck, finances. So it's really interesting that the same two things that the world wants to come against the church for is the same two things that the church needs to take a stand on, and we preach without any apology. We believe in kingdom finances, and we believe in kingdom healing. So I believe that you guys have been doing healing for about 2 weeks. So we're going to help the End Times class kind of catch up on where you guys had left off, just a really quick recap, and then we're going to go into tonight's lesson. So last week, you guys talked about why are some people not healed? And again, if you are in End Times, which is a step three class, you have already gone through this, but it is never a bad thing for a reminder on this, okay? So why are some people not healed? Here are some reasons, okay? Some people are looking for the healing rather than the healer and the word. Some people, they are expecting healings as a test of God's power. God does not have miracles for the people that are curious or for the people that are mockers. Some people are relying more on the arm of the flesh, and they want to put doctors over Jesus. Not that doctors are bad, but they cannot become your God. It got quiet. Okay. Unforgiveness in your heart. Pastor Spencer was talking last week about how when Pastor Rhonda went through her her health challenge, that she spent, I think it was like 2 or 3 days just in bed praying, ensuring that there was not any bit of unforgiveness in her heart, because she knew that if there was, that could be something that would be holding her back from defeating cancer, which she did. Pastor also spent some good time on touching God's anointed, which is on in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 22. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. This is such a serious passage of scripture. He was telling us last week about how there was a woman that put her mouth on a pastor, and that lady began to have multiple health issues. There was also the question last week as I was watching it on live stream that somebody asked, well, what if it's a false preacher on TV, or what if it's somebody that is not preaching the gospel of Christ? I need to stand up and I need to say something. Wrong. Like, that is not your place, okay? If they carry that office, you are not actually attacking the person, you're attacking that office. There was somebody that came to me, and they began to complain about my senior pastors, and they were trying to provoke a response from me. But what they failed to understand is, even if they were correct, and they were wrong, but even if they were correct, they would not be able to provoke a response from me. Because even in the fact that perhaps they may be wrong, and our pastors, they're human, we are human, you are human, we all have issues, we're all about to mess up, amen? But even in their humanity, if I was to touch them, I'm not really touching them. I'm touching the office that God has put on them. And if I'm touching that office, then I'm ultimately now touching God. So if I put my mouth on my senior pastors, I'm putting my mouth on God. That's why it is a dangerous thing to come against God's anointed. And we see in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, Miriam, she began to speak out against Moses. And because of her speaking out, she now had leprosy. She was put away from the camp, and the camp had to stop and wait for her. How unfortunate is that? Is that with you putting your mouth on the wrong person, not only does it stop your progress, it stops the progress of everybody else attached to you. I wonder how many churches are not moving forward because they can't keep their mouth shut.
Okay.
The filter's coming off, y'all. Next, sin in their life. That was according to John chapter 5, verse 14. Then we also had unbelief. If you don't believe, like, I just struggle with that. If you don't believe, don't be shocked that it's not going to happen for you. That's not even, like, really spiritual. If you don't believe, do not be shocked if it does not happen for you, okay? And then some people are just tired and want to go home. And Pastor dealt with this, beautifully, because a lot of people struggle with this. While someone that was old or someone that has been, battling something, they don't have any sin in their life. They don't have any, like, whatever. They want to just go and meet Jesus. And they give up. And some people think, well, that's not fair. I wasn't ready for them to leave. And Pastor answered that beautifully. I'm not going to try to go over that. So if you have missed that, please go back onto the Facebook Live and watch that. He covered that, and I don't want to touch that because that's a very sensitive topic. But there are just some people in which there's no other reason besides they're tired and they want to go meet Jesus. Okay? So today, we'll be talking about how do you get your healing? How do you get your healing? And then if we feel led to, at the end, we may just have people come up and get healed. I don't see why not. I mean, it's really not that big of a deal when you understand the fundamentals. And I believe, according to the word in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, that God will confirm his word with signs and wonders following. So we're about to release the power of the word into your lives, and I believe that you can walk out of here healed. Amen? Amen. So who here needs a healing in your body, like, tonight? Perfect. We're going to pray for y'all tonight. Amen? So there are a few things that you need to do to get your healing. Are you ready? All right. You must believe that Jesus did it for you. You must believe that Jesus did it for you. Not just for the person next to you. Not just for the person that gets up here on a Sunday and they give a testimony. He did it for you. When we look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing. Listen, he didn't say if you are able. Ability and willingness are two different things. What is ability? You have the skills. What is willingness? Interesting. Lord, if you are willing. I think oftentimes people are not so much worried about Jesus, can you do it? It's Jesus, do you actually want to do it? There have been so much church hurt and people hurt and secular hurt where people that have the skills, they hold it back from being a blessing to other people. And unfortunately, that mindset now begins to translate into the church where people do not think that we serve a God that loves us enough to want to heal your body. Maybe your issue may not be so big. It may not be such a grand thing. It may not be the greatest whooping, hollering, running around the sanctuary testimony. So people may say, well, it's just a small thing. I can live with it. I don't have to bring it to the altar. That's a lie from the pit of hell. No matter how small it is, no matter how minuscule it is, no matter how much it may bother you, or maybe you've been conditioned to deal with it, God still desires for you to be healed. Some of us have gotten so good at just dealing with it that your only testimony is, well, I'm still surviving. He does not intend for you to merely survive. He intends for you to thrive. Are you with me? Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him and saying, I am willing, be cleansed. If Jesus has done it for one person, he would do it for every person. Do you check this out? The entirety of Christianity and the Bible can rest on you. If God refuses to do it for you, if you walk according to his principles, if you walk according to his word, and it works out for everybody else but you, Christianity has failed. How powerful is that? There's this lie that goes around, well, it just has to be done for the majority of people, and then Christianity will still pass. That's a lie. It has to be done for you, for you, for you, and for you. He did not die on the cross just for some people. He did not die on the cross. He said he wills that none, all. This is the first few times that the Bible will use a superlative. God says, I will stake my name, I will stake my word on this, that healing is for you. Amen? He never turned away one person who came to him for healing. Notice, it was people that came to him. There needs to be a demand on the healing anointing. It baffles me. Oh, it baffles me. When the man of God will stand up here and say, there's a healing anointing, come to the altar right now and receive. And people that I've seen on Facebook all week saying, oh, my back hurts. Oh, this hurts. Oh, this hurts. They sit there in their seat and they refuse to come up here. And then they wonder why they're not healed. There needs to be a draw and a demand on that anointing. The filter's off. It's past 7 p.m. He never told one person that it was not his will to heal them. He healed everyone that came to him. He did not heal all that were sick. He healed all that were sick and came. There's this false mindset that, well, wherever I am, if he does not heal me, then he's no longer God. Boo, like, why didn't you come to the altar? When the prayer team came up, boo, like, why didn't you come to them to get prayed for? When the pastor said, lift your hands, there's a healing anointing here, why did you go like this? Perhaps you're watching on live stream, and I love you so much, but when the pastor was talking last week about healing, did you switch off of live stream to go watch some other show? Or were you still tuned in and saying, I will receive every single thing he has for me when it comes to healing? How desperate are you? How badly do you want it? Where's that hunger to say, God, I will put you at your word? Lord, if you've done it for this person, I believe you will do it for me. And I refuse to let go of the horns of the altar until I receive my blessing. Where is that tenacity in the body of Christ? Okay, it was just a question. So the first one was, you must believe that Jesus did it for you. Number two, call the elders of the church for prayer. Call the elders of the church for prayer. James chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, not the prayer of doubt, not the prayer of hope, not the prayer of maybe, not the prayer of if it is his will. That is just such a... Let me talk to y'all. Why would you say, Lord, if it be your will, if the Bible declares that it is his will? Why are you going to ask Jesus to validate something that is in the word? If the Lord holds the word above his own name, how dare I pray something that's already answered in the word? Okay, let me go back to the verse. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. If the elders of the church are not available, then you can lay hands on yourself or ask a faith-filled friend to pray and release the anointing. Faith-filled friend. Can I talk to y'all? If you're on cameras, I'm so sorry. I like to walk around. I believe that there are different dimensions and capacities of friendships. Okay? I have some people that are not saved that are in a certain friendship circle of mine. But there is a certain line of faith that I refuse to compromise. That you and I may know each other. We may be Facebook friends. We may be Instagram friends. We may send a happy Easter and a Merry Christmas and a whatever else text once in a while. But when it comes to me needing to have my faith connected with somebody else, I draw a no compromise line. Amen. And that's not to be mean, that's to be real. Because if your faith is not equal or more than mine, and you now come to join with me, I have no choice but to diminish my faith to satisfy you. So if I'm now forced to diminish my faith, how much more does that save for my healing? I say all that to say this. Who are you talking to when you need breakthrough? What are y'all talking about? And can they give you a solution if their faith is not at the same level or higher than yours? Pastor Jade's dad, Greg Clear, just taught us this afternoon in leadership training, and he dropped a bomb in my spirit that like was a legit bomb. He said, you can never solve a problem in your life if you attack it with the same mindset that got you into that issue in the first place. You cannot solve any problem in your life if your mindset is at the same place with that first problem was to start. And from a leadership standpoint, that's great. But now I'm talking about healing. If my mindset was that, I need somebody up here. Who are you talking to and opening up your mouth about? And who are you sharing? And what value are they bringing? Are they going to bring increased faith to break that fetter and break that bondage? Or are they just a comfortable conversation for you to wallow in your pain? And then you wonder why healing does not come. Okay, that was very comforting and encouraging. What's amazing about the elders of the church here is that we are trained, we are empowered, we are equipped, and we are always ready to pray. If y'all are in the hospital at 10, 11 p.m., you can ask my wife. There have been times I've been calling into bed, and then my phone goes off, I roll over, it's a text from Pastor Spencer. 5 minutes later, I'm out the door towards the hospital. Ask her, is it true? It's true. That's a nice little cute smile. Really what you're saying is like, yeah, it's true. Happens too much. We're able, we are willing, and we're ready. But sometimes you can't get us. My phone goes on to do not disturb at like 11 p.m. automatically. I may not pick up. Pastor may not pick up. But what I love about it is that there is healing virtue in your own hands. You don't have to wait for Sunday to get healed. What type of deplorable God would I serve that would say, hey, Craig, you don't feel good on Tuesday? You got to wait Wednesday, Thursday, hope you hold on to Saturday, Sunday. Oh, man, you better get to the altar 9:02 a.m. Like, what a horrible God would I serve? But you can lay hands on yourself. That's powerful. And a lot of schools of thought and theology, they don't teach you that. They want you to feel dependent on man. It's not the man, it's the anointing. It is that simple. It's the anointing. There have been many times which I didn't have time to get to pastor, to lay hands on myself. There were times in which, I remember one time my son had RSV. It was so bad, like so bad. He was in Canandaigua with my wife, my mother-in-law, and I was not there. It was 103 or 104, his temperature. He had a 104 fever, and his pastor dad was nowhere to be found. Could you imagine if my wife said, well, we got to wait for the pastor to get here. Come on, honey, get in the car. No, she took authority. My mother-in-law, she took authority. And then they got wild with the doctor. Don't mess with Mama Bear. But could you imagine if she had to say, well, got to wait for somebody with a title. You are a holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. You have power residing inside of you. Activate that power with the prayer of faith. Lay hands on yourself. Watch yourself recover. Amen? All right, next, pray in faith trust in his word and his covenant promise. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's in James chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. You've got to pray in faith. And there's a dimension of faith that you get to where you truly believe that nothing is impossible. You look at your situation that seems so dismal, that seems so impossible, that nobody else can understand. Nobody else can comprehend. Even the pastors will say, I've never seen anything like this. Well, you need to get to a point where your faith says, I don't care how impossible it is. I believe that the answer is already yes. Do you pray as if the answer is already on its way? Do you read a word and you say, oh, this is for me? Or do you say, well, let me try to find some other qualification for this to be for me? I see so many people do that, where they feel unqualified. They haven't done enough good things and all that, and that's just all religious junk that wants to weigh people down. But I want to tell you, your prayer of faith, holding on to his covenant promises, that is where your healing is at. Amen? Receive and accept the healing in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 to 22. Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever, another superlative, whatever, is there anything missing in a whatever? That's a blank check. The next time you pray, think of a blank check that you get to write in. Set your faith like that. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Amen? Next one, read the word on healing to guard against doubt slipping in. Pastor gave a word of knowledge on Sunday, which was so interesting. He said, there's somebody here and you're having pains here and there, and you've actually gone online and you've looked it up and you think that you are dying. And I was like, I've seen too many TV shows of people doing that, where they will like self-diagnose like on WebMD, Google, Wikipedia. Like, it's so bad. Like, you have a scratch on your left foot. I'm dying! No, boo, you're not. You just have a scratch on your left foot. But what happens is that people abandon the one thing that God holds above his own name. What's the one thing that God holds above his own name? Okay, look, I'm talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about the one who had created all of this. I'm talking about the one that had created past, present, and future, but yet he exists outside of time. I'm talking about that God. I'm talking about the God that has no beginning and he has no end. I'm talking about the God that when people asked who he was, he just said, I am. He literally lived a blank check. You fill it in. Whatever he needs to be for you, that's what he is. I am. I am provider. I am healer. I am your banner. I am your righteousness. I am your peace. I am everything. Are you trying to tell me that entire God, he holds this above his name? Well, then if he does, then who am I to go everywhere else but here for my healing? I'm just keeping it real. He holds this, that God we just talked about, who exists outside of time, holds this that was created in time above his own name. And we sometimes do not think it imperative to go back to this. I just chuckle sometimes. I think to myself, the answer is right there. well, Pastor, you don't get it. I don't. Because he holds this above his name. He swears by this. He says, test me in this thing. So if I'm not immersing myself in this, what else will I be full of? Perhaps doubt, perhaps fear, perhaps unbelief, perhaps saying, what if it's not for me? Perhaps saying, I don't see it in the natural yet. Can I challenge you with this? Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26 says what, Sam? Okay? So he said, let us make man in our own image, all right? So that verse, as we have talked about, that was not your flesh being created. That was your spirit man. And he has given dominion to that thing, okay? So it was your spirit man that was created before your flesh. Can we all agree to that? Okay, if you don't believe that, that's okay. I can break it down for you later on. But let's just work with that theory right now. You were first a spirit before you were a flesh. You had dominion given to your spirit, not to your flesh, okay? So when it comes to healing, what needs to receive the healing first, your spirit or your flesh? Oh. So if it has not manifested in the natural, does that mean that you have not been healed? Ah. So I find it interesting that people, they don't see it manifest in the flesh, and now the words begin to just discredit it of saying, I'm not healed. God did not do it. No, no, no. You are missing the point. I would dare say this. The healing cannot remain in the natural until you have fully received it in the spirit. I'm going to leave that one alone. Next. Oh, this one's so good. Speak and only allow those who will speak faith to you have a voice. Y'all need to go to your Bibles. Mark chapter 5. Now I'm about to have fun. Y'all in trouble now. Mark chapter 5. Let me read that one more time before we go back. Ooh, and I got time. Amen. Speak and only allow those who will speak faith to you have a voice. Mark chapter 22, chapter 5, verse 21 to 42 is probably one of my favorite passages of like miracle scriptures. We have this story of Jesus being interrupted by this man that says, hey, my daughter, she's about to die. I need you to come to the house now. And Jesus, who is both able and willing, what does he do? He starts going to the house. But then on the way to the house, the Bible declares that there's this woman with the issue of blood. She is now interrupting Jesus. Like, how dare she, right? And like, that may just seem rude from a societal standpoint, but according to the law back then, she was putting her life on the line. With that issue of blood, according to the Levitical law, she was not allowed to be around people. She had to just be yelling out unclean everywhere that she went. Her husband had the right to leave her. Her children had the right to not be around her. And even if her husband left her, she could not go back to her family because according to the law, once you get married, they have no reason to take you back. She has nobody. In addition, the Bible declares that she has spent everything that she's had on physicians. She has no more money. Now she ain't got no people and she's broke. This is a problem. And now she sees Jesus. But there's a crowd around him. And the Bible says that she thinks to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And now, where is the hem of my jeans? Thank you, which means that she had to get low. She had to crawl through the crowd to Jesus. She had to lay down her pride because guess what? She had nothing left. Have you ever gotten to the point where you were just so desperate and you had nothing left? Perhaps the reason why you may not have gotten your healing is because you still got too much pride in you. Okay, so now she's now crawling and she touches the hem of his garment and Jesus stops. And he says, who touched me? And the disciples foolishly open up their mouths and they say, well, there's been a crowd around you, Jesus. We've all been touching you. What Jesus was really saying was that you've all been here touching me, but none of you drew power from me. So then finally, this woman, she now reveals herself. And she's like, I was the one that had touched you. It was me. I broke every law, but I knew I had this one final chance. And guess what? Now I'm healed. And Jesus says,
it's okay. You're healed. Go home. Do you, boo. Go live your life. OB version. All right? Now, there's actually one important thing that I want to keep in there about healing. And I never saw this until a pastor preached this. So this is not me. This is just what I heard him say. He said that so many people still refer to her as a woman with the issue of blood every time that we preach it. But the Bible declares that Jesus actually gave her a new name. Verse 34. He said to her, daughter. And we still call her by her infirmity. But Jesus called her by her destiny. And I think that oftentimes when people are in their season of wanting to receive a healing, their words will dictate what will actually happen. Well, how are you referring to yourself? Am I, I'm sick? Or am I, I'm blessed and highly favored? I don't care what the symptoms may present themselves, I am healed. What's coming out of your mouth? Is it what you think you are or what Jesus has said about you? Now, all that is cool, but there's still that girl, right? So after all that, like, this is so awesome, right? They come and they say, by the way, the girl dead. Don't bother Jesus. It's too late. Too late. And that's just not okay for Jesus. He's like, no, it's okay. I'm Jesus. I've got this, right? So the Bible declares, I love this. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Verse 37, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. So he has this entire crowd that just witnessed a miracle, but he said that onto this place, I can't take all of you. Who are you taking on your journey of healing that are good people, but you can't bring them on this journey because they're not full of faith. They're full of doubt. Wouldn't it have been great for Jesus to bring that entire crowd with him for them to see yet another miracle? It sounds good, but he said, no, in this season, I only need people that are full of faith. Then verse 38, then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. I actually studied this out. Do you know that back in Bible times, when somebody had died, they would actually hire professional mourners? Isn't that wild? Really? You learned something today, right?
Yeah. What do they pay?
Clearly. Yo, you pay my NYSEG bill, I will wail all night long. Hey! Oh, God. Susan was so good. That'll be $250. Oh, I hope nobody here is so religious because they're like, whatever. I don't care. I laughed out of crying. That was so funny. Like, they would hire professional mourners. And what I found so interesting about that is that people are willing to pay for death and for pain, but they're not willing to make a sacrifice for their healing. People love to be comforted in their pain. I'm sad, so come around with me and be sad with me. There's so many churches that their prayer circles have turned into gossip and mourning circles. Well, I'm hurt. Oh, well, let us pray about it. Well, first, tell me all about your hurt. We're not here to counsel hurting demons. We're here to cancel hurting demons, okay? So anyways, verse 40. Oh, no, verse 39. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Verse 40, and they ridiculed him. Okay, are y'all with me? But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Jesus first blocked the people that saw the first miracle. Then he dropped the people that got paid to mourn. Because there is no room for doubt when your healing is on the line. There is no room for mourning. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm being so serious. Who is in your life that's trying to speak into you when you know that this is real, but what they're saying contradicts this? Or their faith is not up to this level? I'm not being mean. I'm just being real. Well, Pastor, that is really harsh. I don't want you to have to get to stage 3 cancer before you get this. I don't want you to have to be on your deathbed having people speak death into your life before you get this. I love everyone, but I do not allow everyone to speak into my life. Amen. I'm going to say that one more time. Mark my words. You can quote me on this. I love everyone, but I do not allow everyone to speak into my life, and neither should you. If they are not faith-filled, if they're not pulling your faith up, if they're not making you say, well, maybe I need to fast and pray some more, maybe I need to sow some more, maybe I need to get into the word some more, if they're not provoking that in you, that's not the type of person that you need around you when it comes to healing. I pray right now that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about some people in your life that perhaps they are good Facebook friends. They're good, we could like share memes friends, but they're not people that need to be speaking into your life when it comes to healing. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the strength to reallocate them to a different portion of your life. That may sound harsh, but this is a life and death situation. I don't want to come to visit you in the hospital and you say, well, this person, they've spoken to me for 2-3 years and they said, well, it just may not happen, but here I am. I don't want that. I don't at all. And if they really loved you, they'd be speaking life instead of death over you. Amen? If Jesus had not put those people out, even though that he was Jesus, doubt would have filled that place. How can he bring somebody to life and doubt be in there as well? I hope it's quiet because y'all have some friends in your life that you think you have to just realign. And again, I'm not saying that you just cut them off, just reposition them to a different area of your life. There is too much in you. There is too much planned for you. God has too much of a destiny for you to have doubt and fear and unbelief being consistently sown into your life. There's too much greatness in you for that. And if they were a true friend, they'd only be speaking life. In fact, oh boy, I would dare say that some of us live a life that will provoke some people, and it will actually drive away fake friends because they cannot stand how much anointing is on you when they're around you. They can't stand how much word just pours out of your mouth at all times. And I'm happy about that, because that would just begin to repel the people that would have been a nuisance in your life anyways. Amen? I feel some people being unfriended this week. Watch who you allow near you when you are being healed. Doubters, naysayers, death speakers, religious, should not have a voice in your life. This can be a matter of life and death for you. When we say religious, this is very challenging, okay? Because oftentimes people have this mindset that because somebody sits next to me in church that they are a faith-filled person. But I don't get into trouble for this, Brittany. But not everyone that comes to the church comes with good intentions. Okay. Not everyone at the church is at the same faith level as you. Now, I'm thankful for the corporate body of Christ. I can come and celebrate with them. But when you see people that are up here praying, they didn't just sign up for a group. Okay? Tanya, how long did you wait to get onto the prayer team? 2 years. That's about average, like 1 to 2 years. This is not like a group you sign up for on an iPad in the foyer. You can't go online and just say, oh, prayer team. Like, you can't do that. I don't know what that was, but you can't do that. These people are put through some stuff. Their lives are scrutinized. Everything they do is put under the microscope. Their prayer life is tested with Pastor Andrea one-on-one. Am I right? One of my Bible college classes, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Pastor Andrea told it a few years back. So I'm in my office, and it is finals week, right? So they all have a paper, they're writing whatever. And then all of a sudden, I just hear Pastor Andrea praying, which is normal. And then I hear, like, another student praying. And all of a sudden, I hear this. I kid you not. I hear her say, I feel no power in your prayer. Try again. So my nosy self, I come out of my office like, who just got rebuked? I peer in. I was like, uh-oh. What, was that your ear? Oh, my gosh. But she was, like, she had to let them know that prayer is not just acute. Like, if you want to get to the point where you are praying over people and you are imparting into them, and they say, I trust you to join my faith with you for breakthrough and healing. These people are no joke. So if they will go through 1 through 2 years or go through Bible college with Pastor Andrea, poor Shane Burgess. Oh, that was Shane. Oh, my gosh. Poor kid. And he has such a soft voice, too. And she said, you must pray louder than me. I was like, oh, gosh. I would have failed that class. But, like, if that's the sort of requirement that we have on this group, what requirement are you placing on the people in your life if they want to join faith with you? If they want to speak into your life. It is that serious. It is a true life and death. Literal words can create life or they can create death. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. The power of life and what? Resides in your tongue. So either on the tip of your tongue is your future or your funeral. That's it. The Almighty God, with his majestic hands, could have just drawn something in here and made earth. Probably gone like that and made everything. But instead, he used his words. That's so powerful. He said, I'm going to show my people how to create things. Light be. Let there be. Words are that powerful. So you have to be careful of who's speaking to your life, what seeds they are creating, because seeds, they don't return void. Amen? All right. Stand firm, unmovable in your faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 to 21. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Who here has, like, really bad back pain? Like, really, really, really bad. Come on. Can I get some oil? So, this is not prepared. Like, God has to perform his work, his word. Who has their Bible? Can somebody please read to me Mark chapter 16, verse 20? Does it hurt right now? Yeah. Somebody read that out loud, please. Mark chapter 16, verse 20.
And they went out and preached everywhere.
Go on.
And they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs.
The Lord working with them,
confirming the word with accompanying signs. I have no reason to lie. He was not prepared. I'm not going to lie in church. He has no idea I'm about to do this. Somebody has chronic back pain. He was one of them. I'm going to show you how the word works. Okay? Sam, come here. So where is the pain? Right here. Sam, lay hands right there. Right there? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I take authority over this foul pain in his back. It is trespassing. It is illegal. It has no right in his body. Father, we have released your word. This atmosphere has been infused with faith. And I decree and I declare in the name of Jesus that the fire of the Holy Ghost is entering into his body right now, releasing and relieving any pain and all pain. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what could you do before that would hurt? So if you were to bend down, would it hurt?
It's more or less standing up.
Standing up? So if you were to, like, bend over before, would it hurt?
Somewhat, yeah.
So can you try that now?
Sure.
How does that feel?
Good.
Better?
Yep.
When you were, when if you would jump, would it hurt? Would there be, like, a pain shooting through your legs?
No.
Okay. So what else would hurt? So how does it feel now compared to about 10 minutes ago?
Good.
Better? Yeah. You don't have to lie. If it didn't work, it didn't work. That's fine.
Feels good.
All right. I didn't, like, shout like a typical African pastor. Like, I didn't, like, preach, like, 3 hours and, like, sweat and all. I mean, I could because I'd love to do that. But, like, you have to see that the word works that simply. Now, here's his responsibility. He can either go home and believe on the word, and even if a symptom tries to come back, he can then stand on the word and say, no, I'm healed. I refuse. Or he can go back home and say, well, that was on live stream. I hope it worked. Well, I mean, those verses were kind of cool, but I hope it worked. He has that choice. It's not the preacher. It's not the word. It's him. And that stands for each and every single one of you. Healing is that simple. Where is that verse, Sam, that I keep telling you, but I don't remember where it is? Acts. We'll end with this. Is it Acts 26? Or is it? Oh, I found it. Acts chapter 26, verse 8. Apostle Phil Endophon taught me this verse, and it, like, blew my mind. He said this. Acts chapter 26, verse 8. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? That hit you a little, didn't it? Why should it be thought incredible by you or I that God raises the dead? To God, that's an elementary principle, that the dead are being raised. Now, anybody here that has any present infirmity in their body, would you dare say that whatever you're going through is a little bit less than being dead? Is that fair to say without being insensitive? So if that's the case, if I don't consider it a big deal for the dead to be raised, according to scripture, because if I saw that, I would run around this place and do a backflip. But if it's not a big deal in the word, then your issue is not a big deal. It's important to God, but it's not too big of a deal for him. His back is healed. It's not a big deal. God saw it. God knew it. God paved a way and made sure that he was here tonight, because there could have been obstacles and things, and you could have just decided just not to come. Things happen. But tonight was your night for healing, and it's done. There was no music. There was no lights. There was no smoke. There was no oil splattered everywhere.
He's healed. Tonight was his night. And it's not that big of a deal. And I don't say that in a rude way. I say that in a very comforting way. That what you're going through, my God is more than powerful to take care of it tonight. I believe that. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. It's 7:54, y'all. I'm done. Carbone, can you please get on the key?